He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Then Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. It is written, Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. It is written, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. For Isaiah hath said, Let them take a lump of figs, and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall live. O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Teach me thy patience still with thee in closer, dearer company. In work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give. With thee, O Master, let me live. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Isaiah chapter 38. Set thine house in order. Isaiah the prophet was sent to King Hezekiah with a message. It was an electrifying message. He said to the king, Thus saith the Lord. Now, whenever the Lord has something to say, it ought to be enough to grab our attention. God speaks to us today, not by prophets and dreams, but in these last days through His Son, in and through the Word of God. God's message to Hezekiah was, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Isaiah did not have anything else to say. He delivered the message and left. The message was plain enough that it did not need to be explained. God Himself had made the diagnosis that the disease was terminal. Hezekiah did not say to Isaiah, "Isaiah, are you sure that's a good translation? Isaiah, don't you think God is too good to say a thing like that?" Nor did he say to Isaiah, "Isaiah, you are a narrow-minded and negative bigot." He took the statement of God at face value. He accepted it as the truth. Now, just as soon as Isaiah was gone, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed. He aimed his prayer at the wall. He prayed, and he prayed a hole in the wall. He reminded the Lord what a good servant he had been and how much he had done, which was considerable, and complained that he was being deprived of his old age. His prayer went right through the granite, the cement, the mortar, the insulation, and the bricks. That prayer made a perpendicular right-hand turn and went straight up to God. And before Isaiah, the prophet, could get off the premises, the Lord said, "Isaiah, go back and tell Hezekiah that I have changed my mind. I will let him live for 15 more years. And tell him to put a lump of figs on that boil, and he will be healed." Hezekiah recovered from a terminal disease by the power of prayer. This is one of the many cases where we learn that we as Christians are justified in asking for deliverance in time of sickness, including terminal diseases. The power of prayer should never be minimized. Now, we have a prayer chain in this ministry which deals with 300 names or 3,000 names where they can all be alerted to the prayer needs of the servants of God, because we truly believe that God is just a prayer away. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, "What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall receive them." Every prayer we pray should be prayed in faith that God hears and God will answer according to His will. There is a bridge whereof the span is rooted in the heart of man. It reaches without pile or rod unto the great white throne of God. Its traffic is in human sighs, fervently lifted to the skies. It is the one pathway from despair, and it is called the bridge of prayer. Now, regarding that lump of figs, Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs and lay it on the boil." And he recovered. But that raises a question. Was Isaiah healed before he laid the lump of figs on the boil? Or did he lay the lump of figs on the boil because he was already healed? This statement has confounded the scholars for centuries. But actually, almost anyone ought to be able to figure it out. Hear it again. "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." 1,000 voices proclaim that message to us every day. Graveyards, hospitals, funerals, diseases, pain, birthdays, calendars, these and many other things remind us every day of our mortality. set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. If it could come to Isaiah, it could come to all of us. Remember the message that was sent to Jesus about Lazarus? Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Being close to the Lord does not rule out the message. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. In the prayer of Hezekiah, he told the Lord that his old age was being cut off. He said he was being deprived of his years. I'm too young to die, he said. My old age is departed. He knew that he would never know the joy of wearing bifocals or hearing aids. He would not live long enough to receive his Social Security checks. All that money down the drain for nothing. My old age is departed, all because of the decree of the Lord. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah wanted some assurance that he would in truth be healed. He asked Isaiah the prophet, What sign will there be that I am healed? Isaiah said, Take your pick. Shall the shadow on the sundial go forward or backwards 10 degrees? Hezekiah said it would be a greater miracle for the shadow to go back 10 degrees, then forward. So let's set it back. So Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and it was done. The shadow of the sundial of Ahaz went back 10 degrees. For the sundial to go back 10 degrees would be 5 hours. If it was 12 o'clock midday, and it went back 7 in the morning, then by the time he caught up again, that means the day would be 10 hours longer. One time I checked the time on a sundial. My watch said it was 1 o'clock. The sundial said it was 12 o'clock. I knew my watch could not be that far off, and I wondered how the sundial could be that far off. It came to me in a flash. My watch was set for daylight saving time, and evidently, God had forgotten to run his celestial clock back. No matter how we fiddle with time, there is no way we can extend our time any more than it really is. God did, in fact, run the clock back for Isaiah, but he is not in the habit of doing that for everybody. However, it is an interesting thought. I wish Almighty God would run my clock back 50 years. There are a lot of things that I would do differently if he did. Backward, turn backward, time in thy flight. Make me a child again just for tonight. The saddest thing about this whole story is that we are told in 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter, that Hezekiah, after he was healed, rendered not again according to the benefits he received. You might think that after so great a deliverance that he would be an even greater king than ever before. The sad part of the matter is he rendered not according to the benefits that he received. This is the commentary of many a life today. Many in the church have not rendered according to the benefits they have received. Examine your attendance. Examine your witness as far as other people are concerned. Many live as though nothing ever happened. They render not according to the benefits they have received. Now remember, Isaiah said to King Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That same prediction is for us. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And there are several houses that we need to set in order. One of those houses is the material house. The material house that we live in all our worldly possessions. A man came to Jesus one time and said, Lord, bid my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Then the Lord told the story of the man who had the full barns. You may remember the story very well, the many times he used the personal pronouns. That rich man, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow all my grain and my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The Lord said, Thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Paul tells us the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil, it is a love of money. Money is evil when it becomes a god, and therein lies the problem. Covetousness is the one sin that nobody ever confesses. People will confess to God that they are guilty of immorality, guilty of abortion and murder, and a host of other sins. But how many of us ever ask God to forgive us for being a stingy, skinflint, and tightwad? The reason, of course, is because people think they are telling the truth when they say, I'm giving all I can. When the offering plate is passed, try to imagine that the one who passes the plate is the one with the nail-scarred hands. If we can visualize that, I truly believe, whether rich or poor, we ought to be afraid to say, I'm giving all I can, when he gave all he could. Remember the words of the Lord himself when he said, Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Many write their will and usually preface it with a statement, Being of sound mind. On that day when they stand before God, no doubt they will say, Lord, I must have been crazy to leave you out of my will. The Lord will say, No, you were not crazy. It says right here in your will that you yourself said you wrote with a sound mind. Paul told Timothy to charge them that are rich not to be high-minded and have their hopes set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who giveth us all things to enjoy, that they do that they may be rich in good works, that they may be ready to distribute, laying up for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Another house that needs to be set in order is the house of God. Paul told Titus, For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting. Titus was to set the church in order. One of the things that Paul mentioned was ordain elders in all the churches. I saw one church paper that mentioned the names of three of its preachers and said, These are the men that God hath sent to run the church. In one congregation, I heard the preacher announce, If anyone has any problems this week, please see one of the members of the staff. Paul must have been mistaken. He should have told Titus, For this cause I left thee in Crete. Thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain a staff. Well, of course, David did say, Thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. There are a lot of areas that need to be set in order today. I believe one thing in particular is to set the message that is preached in order. One elder told me of a preacher they interviewed for the position of their preacher, and when they asked him how he preached doctrine, he asked them, how do you want it preached? That's a good description of the false prophet. You can tell a false prophet as the one whose teaching is always without controversy in doctrinal matters. Doctrine is not important. He always makes you feel good about yourself. Self-esteem must be stressed. Repentance is rarely mentioned. You must also feel good about what he says and or what he does not say. This reminds us of the story of the teacher being interviewed for a position, and he was asked, "How do you teach geography?" He said, "There are two schools of thought on the matter. Some say the world is round. Some say the world is flat. I am prepared to teach it, either way." Paul would have a hard time of it today. When he preached to Felix, he reasoned of righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And Felix was terrified. When Peter preached, the people were pricked in their hearts and cried out, "What must we do?" He told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today, no one is terrified. No one cries out in anguish over their sins. When Stephen preached, they stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one accord and stoned him. Today, such a message would cause them to stop their ears and rush out with one accord and never come back again. Isaiah would be very unpopular today, considering that he said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice as a trumpet, and tell my people of their transgressions, and the house of Jacob of their sins." Today, when the trumpet sounds, we cannot tell whether the trumpet is playing taps or reveille. Playing taps because they're going to sleep, or reveille because we're trying to wake them up. As time goes by, there are some things that really do need to be changed to keep up with the times. But there are some things that never change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever. His doctrines do not change with a whim and fancy for the sake of personal glory and building a bigger crowd. Remember the warning of Isaiah, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now, another house that needs to be set in order is the house of our tabernacle. How about that house that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? We know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, this body of ours is a house. And one of these days, the landlord is going to give us an eviction notice. On that day, we will have to move out. In the previous chapter, Paul had said that the outward man decays day by day, but the inward man is renewed day by day. As far as the outward man is concerned, we rot a little every day. I personally have gotten to the place in life where I am one of the most rotten people I know. Someone saw my picture as I looked 40 years ago and said, "Why, it doesn't even look like the same person." It doesn't, because I have rotted. It is said that there are three stages in life: youth, middle age, and you are looking good. How rotten are you? Perhaps you don't know. I would suppose your doctor would be able to give you a better assessment than anyone else. But one thing for sure, the earthly house of our tabernacle will be dissolved. A song of yesteryear says, this old house is going to crumble. This old house is going to fall. One of these days, the message will come through loud and clear. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You are a walking, living pile of dirt. And the only thing that gives that pile of dirt cohesion is your soul and or spirit. When you move out, that dirt pile will go back to dust until the day of judgment and resurrection. The supercritic of the Word of God may wonder, how will God be able to identify all that dust from billions of people? Very simple. God can look at the dust and identify you immediately by looking at your DNA, a surefire method of identification. Remember the promise in Hebrews chapter 9. It is appointed unto man once to die, then after this, the judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, the judgment day is coming. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Until next week at the same time, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.